Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for this day set aside to be able to gather together in your house and be able to come to you closer and closer through studying your word and through these songs and through fellowship. And help us now as we get back into your word to grow close to you through the process. We thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. We as Christians need to get in the battle. There's a battle out there against Satan. There's a battle that we need to understand. And we know that we have things that the Lord can give us to help us in that battle. This being Memorial Day, speaking of battle, and speaking of soldiers, speaking of those that have been out there to fight for our freedoms. And we as Christians, we need to know as well that we are soldiers, that we are soldiers of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we see that there are things available to us that choose to get in the battle, which is the armor that God can put upon us. We'll read these from verse 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Note, His might, not your might. That's where a lot of folks mess up. They try to think of it as being their strength, their abilities. And it's not. We just need to let the Lord work through us. Be willing to submit ourselves complete to the Lord. Let Him use us. And do what He says here in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the key to understand. The battle is actually against Satan. He has a lot of followers, and they are on the increase. And they are getting higher and higher up in power, in influential positions, and in wealth. And they are influencing the entire world. And we surely see that in this country. And we got to understand it. Ultimately, we are fighting Satan. And we of ourselves do not have the ability to be able to fight Satan and win without Jesus Christ helping us. With His power, with His might, we can overcome Satan. Because the Lord allows us to be a part of the battle. But ultimately, if the battle is Jesus Christ against Satan. And we know who's going to win that battle. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To boldly stand up in the face of Satan and his followers. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Truth that can be found in the Word of God. Righteousness that can be blanketed upon you from Jesus Christ, not your own, because your own is like filthy rags. And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace, the gospel of peace, the good news of salvation. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When you're a Christian, the darts are going to be coming. They're going to be coming from all kinds of directions. From strangers, from the governments, from officials, from your family even. And associates, co-workers. You know, all kinds of darts coming at you all the time. But you put on that shield of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That He can deflect all those. It's above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All of them. And take the helmet of salvation, which is what you got to start out with. You get salvation, then you can start putting on all this other armor. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we're to study. To study the Word of God. Like it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. When you really get into it and study it, you have the equipment, you have the tools, you have the armament, you have the weapons that you need to fight against Satan and his followers. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to pray for each other as well. We're not the only ones in the battle. There are others out there. So pray that they have strength and have the boldness and the courage and whatever tools, whatever weapons that they need as well to fight Satan, and know that ultimately you have the Lord on your side, and when the Lord's on your side, then you're going to win. The Lord tells us about some of these persecutions over in Matthew chapter 5, and verse 10. We've touched on this several times lately, and we'll hit on it again. In the Beatitudes, the blessedness is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For righteousness' sake. Not for the sake of you're just an obnoxious, in-your-face type person. No. Because you are sharing the gospel, because you are shining the light, because you are sharing the love and covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're going to get attacks. They're going to be coming at you. And that's what he's speaking of. You're going to be persecuted when you are displaying the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Note, falsely. False accusers out there coming at you. Like we were talking earlier in Sunday school, the temptations that Jesus Christ went through. The false accusations that come at you. The fiery darts of Satan. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And that's some encouragement there. Knowing that when we're in the battle, when we're in there fighting, there's going to be a benefit for it. It's going to be a benefit to the kingdom, and it's going to be a benefit for us as well. He's going to reward us for that. Over in Matthew chapter 10, he's telling us how we're going out. Here he's speaking of how he sent his apostles out to go out to spread the gospel. And this applies to us as well when we become born-again Christians and go out and get into the mission field. When we go out to start influencing that circle of influence that each and every one of us have. In Matthew chapter 10, picking it up in verse 16 here, there says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Interesting verse here. We know that we are amongst the wolves because they're out there howling and growling and wanting to devour us. And we need to know that we go out and need to be as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Now, this wisdom of a serpent is speaking the cunningness, the cleverness, the awareness of what's going on, and be very attentive and see the signs around you. Know who you can trust and who you can't trust. And it says, harmless as doves. We're not just supposed to go out and stir up a bunch of trouble and cause chaos, rioting, and destruction. No, we are to be harmless. Because in being harmless, we display the love of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. This is awesome. When you have that kind of relationship with the Lord, the Holy Ghost in you, and you get into a situation, you don't have to be thinking in your own mind, trying to figure out, well, how am I going to deal with this? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? You just need to pray, Lord, use me. Here I am. I'm going to get out of the way and let you come forward. And then you, as I say, just need to hang on for the ride. Because he's going to give you what you need to say. He's going to let you know exactly what you need to do in those moments of those persecutions and turmoil. Verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. It's amazing if you've ever gotten into this situation or dealt with this, how when you totally yield yourself to the Lord, you'll find yourself saying things and doing things that you didn't know you had the ability to or the information and knowledge to even say those things. And you're going to be learning and experiencing something yourself through that. And you're going to walk away like, wow, that was awesome. Because you were just there for the ride. And the Lord was doing the work. And that's amazing when that happens. If you've gone through that, or be prepared, because someday you may. Verse 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now this is talking about some bad times. This is talking about some things that some of us may have already gone through overseas and so forth. You turn your life over to the Lord, your own family wants to lift you up and kill you, or have you persecuted by others. But thankfully, there's not much of that going on in this country yet. But don't be surprised when it starts, because it is spreading around the world. And know that if you trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, even if they kill you, you still have your relationship with Jesus Christ. And we got to always remember and acknowledge that when you're truly a born-again Christian, separation from your body or death is actually a promotion for Christians, because you're moving from this realm into the next. He's finished with you here. He's ready for you for the next, whether it is by the hand of one of Satan's followers or whether it's by a simple accident or something medical. You'll be here as long as he still has a plan for you. And when he's done with that plan, he's going to bring you home to be with him. Simple as that. And we can look forward to that. We can be encouraged by that. John chapter 16 and verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Like, he's told us what we're going to be facing. He's let us know that, hey, you receive me as your Lord and Savior. You are joining the army into the battle against Satan. And if any of y'all have been in the military or know anything about the military, when you join in a battle, you got to know and understand that you're going to be in the battle. There's going to be somebody out there wanting to destroy you. And when we become a Christian, we need to understand that as well. When we become effective, influential Christians, Satan is going to do everything he can to cut that off, to stop that, to silence us. And he's telling us these things. He told us what's going to happen. So that when those things occur, we won't be surprised, we won't be offended, we'll be rejoicing in that. Because these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. The Antichrist bunch that has infiltrated the ministry, that reject the true Word of God, that have twisted around and even perverted the Word of God and the Gospel and the translations that they use and the forms that they preach and the forms that they teach and the things that they do in their churches, proclaiming to be Christian but really have no basis with Jesus Christ. They don't want you to be any part of that. They'll cut you down and criticize you and your ministry if you're doing it right. Because that's not what they're about. They're about bringing in the people, preaching the fluff and stuff and having a good time. Not what it should be about. It should be about being prepared to be able to go out and share the gospel, to bring more in to know and trust the Lord before it may be everlasting too late. Look at the life of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Now, Stephen, a young man devoted to the Lord, going out, preaching and teaching, encounters some stiff-necked bunch of highfalutin, haughty Jews, but he tells them like it is. He preaches the gospel, and they are so offended, they're ready to kill him. You pick it up here in Acts chapter 7, and verse 51. And it reads, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. See, that's one of the key points we got to know. When we're going out there and we're going up against somebody that is clearly rejecting what you're trying to give to them out of love, they are rejecting the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is truly the one that is doing the hard work. He's out there doing it all the time. He allows us to be a part of it and be involved in it occasionally. And ultimately, who they are rejecting is the Lord, not you. Read that again. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law of the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Point out to thee, they had heard the truth. They'd been presented it. They had been available to them. And they rejected it, turned it down, didn't want to hear it, didn't want to see it. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut in the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. In other words, they started biting him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. That was an awesome moment in Stephen's life and right there at his death, to be given the opportunity to see into the next realm, to see right to the throne of God. Verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Jesus gave him that example on the cross when Jesus said, Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen doing the same thing there. Knowing that they were being influenced by Satan, Satan was trying to silence somebody who was presenting the gospel. He did not want anyone to hear that. So he encouraged these folks to stone Stephen to death. Right into battle, right to the end, proclaiming God all the way through. Awesome testimony to Stephen. And over in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, we see some of what we could learn from here, where it reads, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right there, like what Stephen encountered. That blessed revelation right there as he's dying. Not have to be scared, not to be worried, knowing he's going to be with the Lord in moments away. Be right there with the Lord. Doing the work right to the end. Verse 32, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Even through all the hardships, even through the persecution, even through the torture and death, you're still a conqueror. Because for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what happens to you, when you are truly a born-again Christian, that is sealed. You are one of the family for eternity. Nothing can separate you from that. Not even yourselves. You have these people out here that talk about, well, you got to stay straight. You got to stay right. You got to walk a perfect life. Otherwise, you're going to go to hell. No, you got to trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's what gets you to heaven. Living a perfect life gets you blessings and rewards. But it doesn't get you salvation. You cannot work your way to heaven. It doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ did the work. We've got to acknowledge that and receive that. And then do what He wants you to do to bring honor and glory to Him. And He blesses you now and for eternity. But once you truly give your life over to the Lord, you're sealed. Even if you're dumb enough to go back into your sinful ways and backslide, you can become a child of disobedience. You can mess up, turn back into the mire. You can, like the dog, return to the vomit and eat that again. And you become a disobedient child. But like it says, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So you don't want the wrath of God to come upon you, so keep it straight. Listen to the Lord. But know that ultimately, even if you do get slapped around a little bit with some chastisement, He might afflict you with something, allow something to come upon you, hardships, turmoil. He might even take you out of here completely because you become so disobedient, take you on home before you mess up even everything that you've already built up. But you're still a child of God. That's sealed. That's sealed by the Holy Ghost. That cannot be severed. Even by, like I say, our own stupid disobedience. And that's what He's telling us here. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's so filled with grace that He pours upon us. We truly are piled high with the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ every single day. We are so ignorant sometimes on what we should be doing and what we should not be doing, but yet the Lord still patiently works with us and waits for us to grow and to learn. And that is so awesome. So we need to get in the battle. We need to stay in the battle. We need to know that there is so much out there to do that He gives us the opportunity to do, to be able to bring blessings to others, to be able to bring honor and glory to the Lord, to be able to build up rewards for us and everybody around us. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." When you recognize, no, when you're signing up, you're joining an army of soldiers of Jesus Christ. A soldier recognizes, no, there's a battle. You're going to be in a battle. And when we truly know that we can have all the armor that we need, the ammo that we need, the weapons that we need, the power and might that we need, because it all comes from Jesus Christ, then you can get right into that battle and not worry about it. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So this is an important one, like back over in the parables of the seeds of the sower. When you get into the army, you need to focus on your duties. Not be distracted by the cares of this world. You need to be focused. Pinpoint focus on the task that's set for you. Not be distracted by cares of this world. Not the cares of wealth or fame or prosperity of any sort. The cares of this life, the affairs of this life, as it says. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You keep Jesus Christ first and utmost in your life. You acknowledge him, love him with all your existence, and then you get out there and you share that love with others. Love others as yourself. And that's where the real battle is when you understand and know that you're battling evil. You're battling hatred. You're even battling within yourself sometimes when it comes to offenses. Somebody that's persecuted you, somebody that's done something against you, and you might have a hardship toward them, and maybe even some unforgiveness. We need to know that we need to forgive them. And we know, as the Word tells us, that we are to live peaceably with all mankind as much as is possible that lieth within us. Now, sometimes there's people you can't live peaceably with. Simply get away from that. Totally sever any relationship with that. Lift them up. Give them to the Lord. Pray for them. Don't hate them. Forgive them. But you don't have to get back up in that relationship. Get away from it. There are people like that around the world. There are nations like that around the world that we need to understand that there are going to be like that. Some people that we should not be associated with. Share the gospel as much as you can, but ultimately know that there's not going to be any peace there because they are purely of Satan and all they want to do is destroy us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Going back to speaking of the persecutions that we're going to go through, that we're going to be receiving glory later because we've been in that battle. Like we like to honor and remember our fallen soldiers in all the battles, the glory that we give to them, the thanks that we give to them because they went out there and gave their life on the battlefield to give us freedoms, to give us peace. We as well are soldiers out there in the battle, and we're going to be given glory for being in that battle. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The ultimate soldier there, giving us the example. He went face to face with all sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. He died on that cross, took all that with Him, took on all of that, died, buried, rose again the third day, stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching, ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, our mediator, our commander in chief. Let's get in the battle. He's given us the armament. We are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. So let's get on the front line. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You oh so much for giving us that opportunity to be a part of Your army, to be able to go out and fight these wiles of the devil that are out there. Help us to realize that we do that by Your power, Your direction, Your might, not our own, not our own weapons, not our own strength, but on Yours. Help us always stay focused on that as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.